Good morning.
Good morning.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be merciful and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. How lovely is your dwelling place. Behold our shield, O God. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord bestows favor and honor. O Lord of hosts, glory be to the Father and to the Son, as it was in the beginning, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home his bride, the church, that with all the company of the redeemed we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So the first reading for this morning is taken from the book of Amos, chapter 5, beginning with verse 18. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. And blessed are those whose strength is in you. The epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Lord.
We join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So St. Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." When I was a boy, there was a movie that came out, you may recall it, called Up Periscope. My brother and I, my brother Edward, we saw this movie together, and then later when our parents picked us up, we were telling them about the movie. My brother Edward, he was actually the one telling it, but I took care to listen to the things he was saying, and I was a bit disturbed where he had left something very important out. You see, the submarine had been on the surface of the water, and there were men, of course, in the conning tower. Well, as these movies kind of go, they had to submerge very quickly. And so Edward was telling how all these men went down and the submarine went under the water. But I kept saying, "You left something out." So my parents, "Well, what is it?" I said, "They closed the hatch." If you're in a submarine, that's very important. You got to make sure that hatch is closed. You don't go underwater with it open. I knew that much. Well, that became a catchword, I guess, when we were relating to our parents some things, and my dad would sometimes go, "Close the hatch. Get to the point." Yeah, I didn't live that one down. That was always something my dad or mom would sometimes say, "Close the hatch." Well, I kind of feel that way right now. I was at just down at the gas station down the road here, and I went inside and ordered something to take back to the house to watch football. You know, something good, snacks, like I got some buffalo wings. So, you know, and there's this music playing, and I'm not really paying much attention to it. Until I realized, baby, it's cold out, outside. And I'm thinking, are we already playing Christmas songs? Then I thought, well, it's not really a Christmas song. It's a cold song, a winter song. Romantic in a tongue-in-cheek sort of way. So I just kind of let that slide by, and when I went out after with my food and that, and I got on my motorcycle, I'm still hearing the music coming, and it is Christmas songs, and I'm going, man, you forgot something. You didn't close the hatch. We haven't had Thanksgiving yet. You got to have that before you can have the Christmas songs. See, we get carried away at times, and we want things to rush, I guess. And, you know, you turn on the TV, and lo and behold, there's Home Depot saying, "Hey, we've extended Black Friday. Black Friday is all this season, this month." And I'm going, well, we haven't had Thanksgiving yet. You can't have it. So what are they going to do on Black Friday? Will there be a Black Friday? They got to close the hatch. All that expectation and waiting for those events to come are kind of lost on us. Expectation, I think, is a pretty good thing. We expect something to take place. We look forward to that event that takes place. Now, for instance, in the church, and pastors try their best to stay to this, but we don't always succeed, because during Advent, congregations usually start pleading to us, can't you pick some Christmas hymns? Why do we have to wait till Christmas? Well, it's Advent. It's not Christmas yet. It's an important thing to know. I mean, we've kind of given in, I guess, to some things, you know, like putting the Christmas tree up earlier. There was a time you didn't see that Christmas tree until that night of Christmas Eve, because that tree didn't go up until the Sunday after the service of the last Sunday before Christmas. That's the way it used to be, and there was a reason. There's a rhythm to the church year. There's an expectation that we have of Christ coming again. And so we've moved into that. We've moved into that expectation of Christ's return. And for us, that is an important thing that we can't just jump over. Because the end of the church year, we're in that part right now. You know, we're going to hear these lessons, readings about how Christ is going to come suddenly. We have the parable of the virgins. You know, that's the way we are at this time of the church year. And then even in Advent, we're still kind of in that part as we move on to remember that first coming of our Lord. Because they are so different. We can't take Christmas and put it before that. How can we have the baby Jesus being sung about when we're looking for the King to return? The King in all His glory. The Redeemer. And we should look forward to that even more than His birth. Because that's already took place. We should be looking forward with hope and expectation that really should never be pushed aside. It's important to close the hatch before we move on to the beginning of the church year once again in Advent. So, we remember what St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, because this church in Thessalonia was kind of looking for the return of Christ right now for them. They were looking for it immediately. They were in expectation, but things weren't always going too good for the church after all. There were those who really weren't hearing the gospel. There were those who had brought in some of their, you know, old self into the church. Go figure that. But, you know, that's the way the church is. We struggle with those things of our nature, with those of our spirit that God has given us. Bless you. So, there is that struggle going on with this church as well as others. And there is, of course, that whole thing of death. See, that's something we want to get by as quickly as we can. We don't want to stay in that kind of thought. We don't want to think about death. Well, except maybe during Halloween when everybody puts out their Halloween decorations. Did you see on the news where one neighborhood, the guy's decorations were so graphic? I mean, it was like his house was a murder scene. You know, he had these dummies on the... I mean, real dummies, not dummies, but yeah. you know, on the ground, you know, with blood and everything all around. Well, the neighbors called the police, and the police came and just kind of investigated. They drew chalk, or no, they didn't. But, you know, the whole idea of death, you know, I mean, we kind of like Halloween because it's fun, and the kids dress up and all that good stuff, you know. And we don't really, I mean, for me, I like horror movies, but I don't like slasher movies. Because horror movies to me are like, I don't know, Alien. It ain't going to happen. But slasher movies, that's something that could happen. And I don't like to see that. And you know, of course, it's more graphic nowadays on TV than probably real life. That's probably not true either, but there's a little left to the imagination. But there is the desire to move beyond that because we don't like death. Who should like death? We don't like people being killed. Who should like people being killed? We don't like people's lives being cut short. Who should like that? No, we want to live as long as we can, and there's no difference in these people in Thessalonica. Death is that which grieves people and cuts to the heart. It's tragic. It hurts. But we have a promise, and St. Paul says, I want you to not be uninformed, brothers. I want you to be certain about your place in God's kingdom. I want you to know what the future is for us. We are not like those who have no hope. We aren't. And he wants them to know, and he doesn't mince words about it. He goes straight to the heart of why we can be certain. Because Jesus, who died for us, God has raised him to life. We could point to some of the things in Scripture that remind us of Jesus' power and authority, because when he returns with that authority. When I say he returns, when he physically returns. Because his authority over us exists today and now, because he is with us today and now and every day of our lives. But when he returns physically in his power and glory, and we see him, we will see him because he will raise us up. And St. Paul or any of the apostles or perhaps any Christian living at this time could point to examples. And we can too, because those examples have been written for us. There was this time that Jesus was entering into a local town. And as he was going through the gate, coming out the gate, was a funeral procession. They were carrying a man who had died on a funeral bier. And his mother was following, who was a widow, and this was her only son. And all the town people were with her, and they were all grieving. And Jesus stopped them, and he put his hand on that bier, and he told the man to get up, to rise up. And he did. And he gave him back, Jesus gave the son back to the mother. Right? And then there was Lazarus. And Jesus stood 4 days after he died and said, Lazarus, come out. And he did. There are other examples. But we also remember Jesus' words to the disciples of John the Baptist, who came to Jesus after he raised the young man up who was being carried out of the town and asked Jesus, John has sent us to ask, are you the one we were expecting or should we look for another? And Jesus' response is, go back and tell John, the dead are raised to life and the poor are being preached the good news. It's so important that we know about the resurrection. It's so important to know about our future resurrection. We already had one resurrection. It took place in your baptism because the old Adam in you was drowned, was killed, was put to death, and buried in the tomb that Christ was buried. You died with him when you were baptized. and you were buried, and you were made alive again, because He gives us His own Spirit that makes us alive. Now we wait for that time when Jesus comes again. Because unless He comes during our lifetime, we know that we may be already dead, long dead and buried, as many saints have already been. But we do not sleep during that time. We are not unaware, as though we are in a deep sleep, like being put under by an anesthesiologist. You know, you don't dream when you are under. Well, that's not what death is for us. You know, the Shakespeare play Macbeth, and where the whole soliloquy is going about, you know, dying and how much better it might be to be dead. But there's a question, but do we dream? Well, we don't dream, but we will be standing in the courts of our Lord, and we will see Him face to face. And we will wait there until Jesus says to us, come on, we're going back to raise up your brothers and sisters, to raise us up. You know, so Jesus tells us that we are to watch, for you know, you do not know neither the day nor the hour. You do not know. We do not know. But we wait with expectation for that day. For we are a people who trust in God, and we know His promises to be certain. Jesus raised up the dead, and He gave His apostles certain gifts, so that even Saint Peter one day, some crowds came to find Peter because this woman named Tabitha, who also is known as Dorcas in a different language. You have the Hebrew and the Aramaic. So Tabitha has died. And it's reported to Peter, what a wonderful Christian woman she was. How she did all kinds of things for people. She made them things that were important to help them. So Peter goes, and Peter prays, and Peter calls for this woman to rise up. And she does. Because of the authority of God, not because of Peter, but God gave Peter that gift to do so. And it demonstrates God's power and authority over death. Over death. How important is that? And that's the song of the church. Our Redeemer lives. He is not dead. We don't worship a memory. We don't worship someone who is still in the ground. We worship the one who was raised to life, who is the Lord of life, and who has promised he who dies in Him, who believes in Him, who trusts in Him, who believes that Jesus did this for you, will also be raised up. How can we just skip past this? It's an expectation the world needs right now, not to jump beyond Thanksgiving, to get right to Christmas. The church knows. We know. We need that expectation. We need to be reminded. One of the jobs of a pastor over the years, it's not always been a fun task, is going to a nursing home. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I have gone since I have been in the ministry to the nursing home to see so many people sitting and looking like they're waiting to die. And I guess in a way they are. They're in a waiting room. They're waiting for the train to heaven to come or the boat to carry them across the river. See how we use words He's not asleep. He passed on. He's not dead. I mean, he passed on. He's not asleep, even though people laughed at Jesus when Jesus said, he's just asleep. What does he mean? Doesn't he understand? He's dead. Well, Jesus is speaking truth because, see, when we die, our lives don't end. Something's going to happen to our souls. They will either go to be with the Lord because of faith in Christ, or they will not. And people don't like to think about that part of death, that maybe we won't measure up to God's standards. Maybe I have not done enough to earn salvation. Or even worse than that, there is nothing after you die. There's just nothing. What a sad, hopeless generation we live in. And that's the way the world's been. A sad, hopeless world. And yet Jesus comes into this world and gives us hope and gives us life. We wait in expectation every second of our lives. No matter how old we are, there's no reason to think, well, it's soon going to be over because I'm old. So you sit in a nursing home waiting to die and hoping, well, maybe there's something more, but I don't know. There is a difference when one of faith is in a nursing home. They are looking forward to, they are in expectation of Christ's return. When I went on vicarage in North Dakota, I had an incident that took place that a vicar doesn't want to have to face, especially when you first get there. The pastor had gone on vacation, and one of his parishioners who had been in a nursing home, was sick. Well, she was more in a retirement community with her husband. They were both in their late 80s. And so I'm called and told about this and that I need to go up and see this woman who is now in the hospital. And it doesn't look like she's going to be living much longer. The call came from her daughters, her adult daughters. And I'm kind of panicking. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I'm new. I'm supposed to be learning from the pastor of this church, and he's on vacation. What am I going to do? So I know what I'll do. I'll call the pastor across the river in Breckenridge. I was in Wahpeton. They were just divided by the Red River, which wasn't very wide at all there. And so I went, okay. I called him, and he said, I'll meet you there. Yeah, sure. He did. Much later, I got there. I'm looking. He's not here. So I talk with the daughters, and then I go after they kind of inform me what's going on. I go in, and I'm all not sure what I'm going to say to this woman. And the first thing she asked me was, how was my mother? Which really just took me back because, you see, I got to my vicarage late by a week or two. I don't remember how long it was because my mother was in the hospital with a serious problem. I really don't even remember to this day why she was in the hospital, but I knew I needed to be there. So the pastor of my vicarage church said, you know, get here when you can. So apparently, of course, since I wasn't there when I was supposed to be there, word got out, well, the vicar's coming a little late because of his mother. So, but I was taken back by that. Nevertheless, I'm thinking, this woman is near death and she's asking me how my mother is. So I wound up ministering to her and she ministered to me. And then later the pastor from the neighboring church came. He said, you did all right. because God was there. You see, God was there, and He used me, even though I didn't know what the I was doing. At least I thought that. But God led me through it, and He helped me minister to her as He helped her minister to me. And that's the way it is. God uses weakness, and His strength is shown forth. So wherever the church is in its time of worship, we need to always remember to close the hatch. We need everything to happen right, because we don't want this ship to sink, do we? Nah. It is a ship. And we're on an ocean filled with people who need rescue. And we can do that. But we always need to be comforted as well. We need healing as well. We can't heal everybody's ills. We can't help everybody, but we can help some. But we also need God's love and care and feeding. We need to be comforted also. And God does that by reminding us during this season of the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hopes and heart in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, you are our help and deliverer, and to you we bring the prayers and petitions of your people, that you may grant to us all things good and needful, and guard us against all things evil and harmful. That the Lord would rule over the darkness and shine his light over all the earth, that those from many nations may be united as one people through baptism and live together in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord would grant us wisdom and courage, that we may be prepared at all times to receive him when he comes in his glory, and that we may not be distracted by earthly glories that fade away, or disillusioned by earthly disappointments, which will come to an end. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord would give courage to all pastors as they preach and teach the word of the Lord, that all those who hear may believe, and that believing they may live in righteousness and godliness before the world, and be kept to the day when Christ returns as Lord and Judge of all. Let us pray to the Lord. For that the government of the world and our leaders would act justly and with mercy, that we may be spared war and violence, and that we may use wisely and for the Lord's glory his gift of liberty and the abundant blessings he has poured out on our land. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord would give aid and comfort to the sick, the suffering, and those in their last days. They may grant healing according to his will and strength to bear up under the weight of loneliness or affliction. We pray especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Don and Donna Toliner, Pat Bias, Jackie Roche, and Wilfred Defoe, and all those whom we also name from our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord, that we may not grieve as those who have no hope, that we may rejoice in the promise of the resurrection to life everlasting, and that we may encourage one another with these words. Let us pray to the Lord, that we may find a home within the house of the Lord here on earth, that we may rejoice in the Lord's word and sacraments by which we are brought to faith and nurtured in this faith, and that we may be sustained in the days of waiting, serving the Lord in anticipation of his return. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may be ready to receive the Lord when he comes again in glory, that the Lord may open the hearts of those who have wandered away from the faith, and that the Lord may restore those caught up in error's maze. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord may hear and answer the prayers of his people, and that we may be content with his answers, trusting in his fatherly will and wisdom to grant us all that we need and all that will profit our salvation. Let us pray to the in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
returning to the fellowship hall.
Woo!
This decision was made last week at the voters' meeting. But there will be safety precautions, I suppose, masks and social distancing.
When you eat, you get to take it off. This needs social distance when you sit. And social.
Okay. And then after that, we'll have our adult Bible class on Sunday. On Sunday, November the 22nd, we are having a dinner for Pastor Hope. This signifies his 35th year. I didn't know he's that old.
He's a young feller for 35.
And we're going to have Ben cater it. So we need a list of people. And the list lady is back there waving her board.
Ben told me, I talked to him this week, and it's $10 a plate. And like usual, what we normally get. And he said, you know, we said we would have chicken fried steak, butter potatoes and gravy, green beans, and salad, and well, of course, homemade bread. He'll furnish the tea, the cutlery, and the and you can put them in individual boxes and bring them to us that way. So that it's that, you know, we're going to have the takeout boxes like he serves at his place. Now with the salad, he says he will pack that in a small container separate with dressing on the side. And he'll furnish tea. Did I say tea? And I? Yeah, we're covered. Now we're going to need to take up for the $10 for that, right? For a person. So if you want to pay your $10, I have a little baggie all ready to go, a zipper bag. And if you have not signed up, we need a count by the week before Thanksgiving. So let me know. Some people signed up last week. But we'll sign up today and next week, I guess, yes. Yeah.
What a plan.
It is a plan. It's a good plan.
I want to wish a happy birthday to Sue Grissom on November the 9th. And Jaden Maldonado on November the 10th. He has no anniversaries. Would there be any other announcements? Carol?
Just to let y'all know, I brought the list that we need, the grocery goods for our pantry. And I really appreciate y'all helping us out.
We really
do help. Thank you.
They're on the chair here, so everybody can pick up their own.
You said you had plenty of green beans.
Sir?
You said you had plenty of green beans.
We had plenty of green beans and plenty of corn.
And tuna.
And tuna.
And ramen noodles.
We don't need any of that.
She's got a good list here. Oh, next week. And I talked to my Aunt Jewel this week about her brother that we've been praying for, Mr. LeBeau. And she said he had gone home from the hospital and had to go back, but then he's back home from the hospital and doing better. So thank you for your prayers that he seems to be doing much better now.
Also wanted to comment on our new sound system.
Woo-hoo! It's actually here.
Apparently it's working.
Yes.
It
takes a couple weeks.
How it works. Sure got a lot of knobs on it. But thankful for hearing those.
Your mother's going to know how to do it before long.
Training program.
You're going to have a training?
You're going to have a victim.
And Mom has something. Go ahead.
We should have a party Sunday.
Next Sunday party?
It's not already eating. They're kicking in the
So, need a good lunch? There you go.
And the tables have been spray disinfected. So don't worry, I mean,
this morning, so we'll be safe in there.